Now, in this 15 minutes, we're going to talk first about this text in the book of Acts, which is an excerpt, from Peter's speech at Pentecost, and then reflect on the psalm, which is the psalm, the famous "The Lord is my shepherd" psalm, Psalm 23. So first, let's look at Acts. You see, Luke has just described this phenomenon, the powerful wind, the fire over the tongues of fire. You see, and it was like a hurricane wind. I mean, everybody, and they all gathered. And what they gathered, and they saw these guys praying in tongues, praising God, preaching in tongues, and they said they're drunk. Peter said, no, they're not drunk at all. Now he starts in the part, starts to, we're going to part, verse 36 is the where he starts. Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Kyrios and Christos, this Jesus whom you crucified. Isn't that the same grasp of this trajectory of our Lord Jesus Christ in and through us up into heaven? Though he was by nature God, he didn't consider being equal to God a thing to be clung to, but he humbled himself. He divested himself. He became obedient unto death, death on a cross, you see. And this is the one. Therefore God exalted him and gave him the name. And what is the name? The name is Yahweh, which is above every name. And that, in the speech, I mean in the hymn, in Philippians, that's reflecting Isaiah 45:24. You see, I am Adonai. Let all the world turn to me, because by me every tongue shall swear, and so forth. It's very interesting that all of that, one of the most powerful monotheistic texts in the whole of the Old Testament, is applied right now to Jesus. So God has made him both Adonai and Christos. Now what does that make? You can't make somebody God, right? They're either God or they're not. If you're made, you're not God. So what is he saying? He reveals his Son through the resurrection. You see? That's what he's saying. He reveals him. He made him in our regard so that we notice that, you see? Whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter, the one, the kind of the impulsive guy, jumps out of the boat, pulls the net, denies Jesus. And now they're asking Peter, why? Because he's the leader. Who made him the leader? Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is at work in him. He spoke in the verses that we've omitted in the reading with such authority. He knew what he was talking about. Wouldn't it be great if after one of our sermons, the people were cut to the heart and said, what shall we do? Instead of, thank you, Father, and off you go. It really cuts to the heart. Because cutting to the heart means what? Setting people free. Free. All the bondage of the heart. I was praying with a woman recently who had been really forced to suffer since childhood. And as we were praying, she said, I feel a freedom in my spirit. That's Jesus, isn't it? And so, you see, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. Now, what did he say in the text? You see? And Petrus de prosaptus metanoisate. Have a change of mind. See, the Hebrew would be shuvu, return. The Greek is more interior. Have a change of mind. That doesn't mean read another book. It means change your mind. The whole way you think, the whole way you plan, the whole way you judge other people, the whole way you make up your mind how much of your life you're going to give to God, the whole way for these Jewish people, the whole way you understand how you're supposed to respond to God. Metanoisate. It means a whole thing. Interior, which what? Means accepting the work of the Holy Spirit. Because we can't do that. But the Holy Spirit does it. He inspires the preacher. He inspires the listener. And then he works this conversion. A change. Certainly, those of us who have been trying to live a Christian life well can notice. I'm a different person. I'm getting better. Thank God. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit. I agree to it, but that's my whole job. Agree. As the same St. Bernard says, and I've quoted this before because I love it. Consentire salvari est. To consent is to believe. But consentire in Latin doesn't mean just to consent. I give my consent. It means to think with, to feel with. You see? Metanoisete. Okay. And be baptized, every one of you. Just last week we were talking about the mystery of matter and this whole point of baptism being this work of Christ in our whole being through water. Why the water? So that we poor souls will know what we're doing. We will go into that water. The full immersion is the best. And all the others, they work. But, you know, sacramenta significando causant. Sacraments cause by signifying. The more powerful the signification, the greater can be the causality. You see? And so be baptized, you see? Repent first. And be baptized. Experience that life-changing moment. You see? Every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sin. Can you imagine? Forgiveness of sins. That's why for the Father's confession is the second plank. If you're about to drown in your sins, and you've already been baptized, you've got another plank. Confession. As I've said this before, but gosh, you know, blessed be Father, for I have sinned. It has been 1 month or 20 years since my last confession, blah, blah, blah. It's like paying a parking ticket. And what's going to happen is that God is going to give you back divine life. In the Eastern Rite, it goes something like, God, who through Nathan the prophet forgave David confessing his sins, the prodigal son, the publican, the woman weeping at his feet, is now my brother John, forgiving you all the sins of your life. And may he make you stand uncondemned before his awesome tribunal, for he is blessed forever and ever. Isn't that beautiful? That's what ours says in effect as well. Because it says, he sent the Holy Spirit for forgiveness of sins. Look, I think it's the post-communion for the Tuesday after Pentecost, where the text says, ipse est remissio peccatorum. He himself, the Holy Spirit, is the remission of sins. Beautiful. For the promise is made to you and to your children, to all those afar off, whomever the Lord our God will call. So he testified with many arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. What a harsh judgment. Well, really? Walk down the street of any city. Look at the ads. Look at the half-naked, what do you call them, in the mannequins. Look at the... And go to Rome, it's worse. You see? So, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons. That's a lot of baptisms. A lot. Were added that day. 3,000 people. That was quite a sermon, wasn't it? The Holy Spirit working. Okay. Now, The meditation psalm is going to link that reading with the rest of the reading. And so it's this, everybody's favorite. Even, what's his name, commented on it. He'll come. It'll come when I don't need him. The English fellow. Anyway, alleluia. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, when we get to the gospel, you see, and the Lord starts describing himself as a shepherd, I don't think it's still there. But when I lived in Israel, out, especially on the way up to Samaria, in that area, there were lots of shepherds. They were still with their sheep. And all he had to do was call, and every sheep recognized the voice of its shepherd. So when a new little sheep is born, you put him, her, with the flock, and they learn from the rest, which one is my voice? Which one do I follow? You see? So, the Lord is my shepherd, you see? Adonai Roi. See? Lo Echsa. I don't want for anything. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Besides restful waters, he leads me. All these words are so poetic that you couldn't exhaust them in a month. You see? Restful waters, that's what it says, but it says so much more than that. But not what does say. And then he refreshes my soul. Isn't that something? You see, Nafshi Yeshuvah. He makes my soul return. He gives me life again. What a beautiful. That can happen in a prayer time, can't it? You go in discouraged, angry, hurt from all the criticism and all the rest, and you just go and pour out your soul, and he consoles you. Of course he does. He loves you. Of course he'll do that. He knows what you're going through. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. If I say I'm a Christian, I put Jesus on the line. So he's got to help me out. If I am a Christian and I behave badly, it reflects on Jesus for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, which is like our unitive way, right? I fear no evil because you're at my side with your rod and your staff. You've got stuff to protect me, so I'm not afraid. Even though Satan is coming at me, I'm not afraid. Isn't that wonderful? You see? You spread the table before me. Now, a sheep doesn't have a table, right? So, you're my shepherd. You spread this food. What food is that? That's the body and blood of Christ. See? You anoint my head with oil. And finally, my cup overflows. This is anybody talking to God. So it ends, only goodness and kindness follow me. And again, as I say, of course, there's so many already, say, ektov v'chesed. Chesed again, right? Enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. On God's part, it follows me, this chesed, his enthusiasm, because God follows me. And then this act of hope. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years, for centuries, for millennia to come, because I've been baptized. Amen.